Welcome everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shir for Women, Shir number 50. Shlomo HaMelech made a statement that says, Chacham eina bereishai, in Kahelas. A wise man's eyes are in his head. And Zohar asks this question, where else are the eyes, if not in the head? That's where the eyes are located. For wise men's eyes are in the head. Fool's eyes, that are not wise men, they're, where are their eyes? They're also in the head. So what does this mean? And Shlomo HaMelech refers to thoughts and feelings of the heart often. Heart is connected to emotions, and head is connected to intellect. You know, when we say someone has their head on their shoulders, we're not saying anatomy, that their head is there. It means that the person is intelligent. And Chacham Eina Bereishai simply means that despite the fact that there is extreme importance to emotions, human emotions of love, of fear, of kindness, and so on and so forth. But in many instances, our emotions are connected to the animal world as well. They have emotions like we have emotions. The specific uniqueness of a human being is their superior intellect and their mind and their thoughts. So the idea is that it is an essential animal perspective to just look at things and have the emotions dictate our behaviors. Rather, we need to look at things as intelligent human beings with our heads, with our minds. That doesn't mean you discount emotions, but you learn how to use your intellect, how to regulate it, and how to bring it about in the best possible way. That's what it means, Chacham Eina Bereishai. And that's a healthy thing to daven for in general. When you ask Hashem in that bracha, Chaneinu mitcha chachma bina v'das, odeya bina haskel, you ask Hashem for wisdom and understanding and discernment, you also ask Him how to use that wisdom properly and how to use the emotions properly and how to have the mind and the intellect and the wisdom of that guide our emotions so it should be directed in a healthy way. That's one aspect. Another thing he brings down, Rav Tversky, a very interesting thing, that if someone wants to encourage other people to become Torah observant or to become better people, the best way to do it is for ourselves to be role models. Someone found a note in Rav Tully Amsterdam's handwriting. Rav Tully Amsterdam was one of the prized Talmidim of Rabbi Saul Salanter, the head of the Muslim movement. And in his notes, it was found this paper that said, I take upon myself to bring all of Klal Yisrael to tshuva. And the one who discovered the note asked Rav Tully Amsterdam, that's a huge project to take upon yourself, to bring the whole entire Klal Yisrael to tshuva. What do you mean? And Rav Tully, in all his sincerity, answered, what I meant was, is that I should take upon myself to observe everything in the Torah meticulously, that I should be a living Shulchan Aruch. And guide my life by Torah. And when others would see how that by observing Torah it results in true happiness, true simcha, they will want to emulate me. And if I succeed in observing Torah properly, I will attract everyone to the Torah by example. You have this when you read the beautiful Midas of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, picking him as an example. He was a Pesach Hadar, a tremendous Tzadik, but together with that, he's basically saying, I did not read anything secular. Everything that I did and said and do and advised all comes from the lens of Torah. And you see how his beautiful midah shone out. That is the Kiddush Hashem. That is the living Shulchan Aruch. That is the most ideal way to encourage people, because they'll say, such a beautiful person, I want to become like him. Even if I can't reach his ankles, I want to try to touch upon what he has. So that's very important to know. The happy Torah life in the right way, using Torah the right way, not misusing it, brings a tremendous amount of simcha. Rav Tversky says, as a psychiatrist, he treated many people who were greatly wealthy, and he can testify that People think that material health brings happiness. You can testify that's not true. The happiest person is a person who lives a spiritual life. The happiest person is a person who has chacham eina b'raishai, his eyes in his head, meaning he's using his intellect and his seichel to lead his proper life. And like we mentioned, Rabbi Tali Amsterdam, by living, by being a living, talking, walking kiddush Hashem, by keeping shulchan aruch properly, and where everyone takes pride and says, such a beautiful Jew, I want to be just like that person. Pertaining to, again, Rav Nachman's lessons, we're going to talk about how you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day if anyone feels a certain degree of depression, anxiety. It's natural for many people. Some have it more, some have it less. But to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to heal the depression with an inner simcha. Rav Nosson of Breslev, who was the prized Talmud of Rav Nachman, explains that golus, exile, and depression are connected to one another. Someone's going through a difficult time, whether it's a physical illness, whether it's a financial worry, whether it's other type of suffering, it's easy and likely and prone to fall into a depression. Because depression equals exile. When you're depressed, you're in golus. And the Sifrei Kabbalah talk about how the Shechina, which is the feminine energy aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is an exile. That Shechina's exile and our own exile mirror each other. Our deepest struggles come from the deepest struggles of the fact that the Shechina itself is in exile trying to cope. Therefore, we're trying to cope. And if we choose life, we choose more joy, we start to bring ourselves out of our own exile. We're bringing the Geula closely. When we choose to connect our Kodesh Baruch Hu with the Simcha, we not only lift ourselves out of our own depression or exile, but we lift the Shechina itself from our exile. And the more besimcha we are, the more joyful we are, the more we bring the Shechina from her exile too, and we remove them from the exile, and we release it, and we cause the Shechina to be revealed. And when the Shechina is revealed, the Geula will come, and everyone will know that Hashem, Vayashem lemelech al kol aretz, and everything in the world will be full of light and full of love. So the key is every single day to do your best to build yourself and to ask Hashem to remove unhealthy depression and anxiety from your heart and to live with inner sincerity, inner calmness, inner simcha. The next point is one of the main points that is brought down in Rav Nachman's teachings is to have a day, every day, to see the good points in yourself and in others. You see, when we talk about correcting other people, people want to fix other people. People want to correct other people. It's part of our nature. And they're usually well-meaning. And there actually is a mitzvah teichacha in the Torah, moral correction, which technically speaking, when used the right way, is indeed a great mitzvah. Technically, it's a chiyuv on all of us, this mitzvah teichacha. There's no denying that, but Rav Nachman felt that bepoil, in actuality, l'halacha, it's something we should avoid. Most of the reason why, Rav Nachman explains, is because we do not have the necessary insights or tools how to correct someone effectively. And when we do attempt teichacha, we focus more on the wrong aspects of correction. Instead of focusing on the person's inner strengths, we focus on their flaws. And in consequence, it weakens the soul of the person they're trying to correct. We forgot the idea that in order to build people up, you don't shame them, you don't humiliate them, you find the best possible scenario to help them. See, that's where the Baal Shem Tov came in and how it lifted people up when Hasidus came into the picture. At the time the Baal Shem Tov founded the Hasidic movement, this is the early 1700s, we had Magidim that used to go from town to town and give drashais, and they were hired by the local kahal, and in each town they would dramatically rebuke the people of the congregants from up Ivanun, from where they were talking, and they would shame them, make them feel down about their transgression. And people would actually cry and tremble with fear. And then they were beaten down and hopeless. Then the Magid's job was done, and he moved to the next town. And the Baal Shem Tov felt overall that this approach is not helping people. Even then, certainly not now that we're overly sensitive with this. But to put down people who are already struggling, you're putting down and you're bringing harshness for people who are trying to escape that hostile environment. Baal Shem Tov felt that was wrong. And he had a great love of the Jewish people, of the Am Yisrael, and the situation caused him a lot of heartache. And it's one of the things that inspired him when he talked about a lot lifting people's spirits up. and bringing them closer to Hashem with a sweetness and with a joy. And Rav Nachman, who was the great grandson of of the Baal Shem Tov, taught this and tried to influence as many people as possible to take the oiros and the light from people who offer it to you and use it right, and use it and allow it to be shine. So the idea is when you correct others, the idea is you motivate others, you inspire others. You have to learn how to motivate and inspire yourself. If you believe in your own good points, you'll be able to give over and discover good points in others and to help them too. So that's the first step. Recognize your own good points, clearing your own path as you build a joyful connection to Hashem. And by doing so, ultimately, you'll be able to help Klal Yisrael as well in a very, very strong way. Pertaining to Tznius, there's an article, again, we're going on Reclaiming Dignity. We're just going through some of this quickly. There's an essay by someone, Miriam Kosman, All That Glitters, and explains a lot how Tznius is not about covering up. It's not about being inhibited. It's not, as commonly thought, a burden put on women to protect men from themselves. That is a misconception. And that is a major problem when it's so externally focused that it's a man's problem and the woman has to dress theistic so that the man shouldn't, have his brain screwed on backwards. That's not the woman's job. Now, obviously, she can't do anything crazy in order to do that or wrong, but that's not the purpose of it. If you think the whole purpose of tznius is that, they're far, far from the truth. Tznius is a way to be faithful to the truth. The idea being is that tznius is the concept that the physical world is a mask. Is a mask. It says an interesting conversation that a friend said about her to her husband and so on about some indecent advertising. And there's a person here who didn't understand why people were bothered by advertising of pictures of scantily clad women in bikinis and exposed like that. And basically he said, what's the big deal? You know, you take your children to the zoo and they enjoy watching leopards and flamingos. They enjoy watching these things. So I enjoy looking at women. What's the difference? Why are you so uptight about that basic human pleasure? It's human nature. You want to enjoy how a woman looks. What's wrong with it? So the idea being, though, if you think about it, what is this person doing, though? He's comparing the men looking at women to the way children or other people that are not used to it look at leopards or flamingos in the zoo. That comparison is off. But really, what is the difference? The difference is very simple. When you see a leopard, right, a leopard would look more decent when it's clothed. But we don't expect it not to be clothed. It's its natural state. Flamingo, same thing. But a human being is expected to wear clothing. Actually, obviously, it's clear that human beings intuit that the essence of a leopard is its spotted skin and its muscles, muscular body, and that. So the leopard is exactly what it's supposed to be in its naked form, without clothing. There's no inner depth hidden there. It is what it is. Human beings, we instinctively know that's not true. Our bodies only hint to the depth beneath the surface, which is the soul. That is the difference. So tznius, dressing modestly, hints to the fact that our physical aspects are just a covering for our souls. Not that it should be that the body is always a mask or physicality is always a mask. It should reveal the soul. But it should reveal the soul in a way that the beauty of the body in a healthy way and the proper clothing in a healthy way reveals to a large degree the sanctity and holiness of the soul and doesn't degrade it. But that is the idea behind it. That's a very important point to bring out. It is not about covering it up. It's not about blocking unhealthy or even unhealthy inhibitions. It's not about putting burden on the women. You know, these men are animals, so you have an obligation to dress tznius to protect them from sin or protect yourselves from them. Those are all externalities. The panini of it is that it is internal. It's like this person made a mistake. What's the big deal? You know, what's the big deal? I'm enjoying looking at women. What difference does it make? And there's a big difference because, again, with human beings, the true essence of it. Hashem wants you to see the true essence of things. A leopard is naked because you're just seeing its true essence of what it is. It is what it is. There's no depth to them, to their soul or anything like that. Or flamingos or all these things that we mentioned. It's Tzelem Elokim is only by a human being. And that Tzelem Elokim is telling you that the body only is a slight glimpse of what really the person is. Slight glimpse of it. There's a lot of depth beneath the surface. And that's why just looking superficially at the surface could be damaging to us. Bracha v'atzlacha.